Okay. Hello, everyone. We are here. It is Sunday, September 5th, and we're continuing in our study of the sealed book. We are in the Acts of the Three Nephites and chapter 5. And we, I think, finished through verse 5. So we'll be starting with verse 6. And these first chapters have been kind of an explanation of who the Nephites are, where they are in history, and their understanding of the gift that Christ gave to them to stay on the earth and spread the gospel, and that it's not exactly perfectly knowing how all of this works. But they did explain that it is an intertwining, that the knowledge that they're writing in this part is an intertwining of the ages of the gospels, of the love and plan that God has for everyone, and how it has not changed throughout the years, and that it is the same today as it was in the past, and that we are facing a future that we need to know many more things of. So I think that's where we're at. And we'll go ahead and start. I'm going to go backwards because John always starts forward. So let's start with Suzanne can listen. I think she's really busy. Russell, are you still there? He might be in and out. So let's start with Lisa. Can you read verse 6?
Yeah, I can read verse 6. When I returned among the Nephites, I joined the other 11 disciples gathered with the Church of Christ from every region around, who sat down to obtain the word of the 12 and together to share the sacrament, because we taught the people his words, as well as he told us to do. My father Nephi, the main among the 12, stood before them all and began to speak to the people, saying, "We have long waited by the signs announcing the birth of Christ among our brethren in Jerusalem, while the unbelievers tried to nullify our faith by saying that none of this would happen."
Comments?
Well, I just have like the analogy that the Nephites were waiting for Christ to come, just like we are waiting for the second coming. And so just as the signs testified of his coming then, the signs are now testifying of his coming now. That was just a thought that I had.
And going along with that, I think that it will be very similar, where we will be told either renounce it or we will kill you, just like Nephi was told before the sign was given.
Yeah, and the last sentence there says, unbelievers will try to nullify our faith. Nullify just means get rid of completely and never say it ever happened. That's that's what we're going to face. That's why we have to be so much stronger. And that's why the sealed book has been given to us now, to build our faith before everything starts to fall apart. It does even say in the sealed book that those of us in, as Mauricio calls us, the elect, may not make it. And so let's listen to what the Lord is telling us.
I think it was Lisa who pointed out the similarities between our current situation and how the Lord sent Samuel the prophet to warn the people. He being rejected by the Nephites because of their pride and because he was not of their same ethnic origin. And don't we see the similar kind of pattern occurring here, where the promises were given, the signs were set forward, and yet the majority of the people rejected those things. and it was a small group of people. And I believe what Russell said is true, that we will be tested and we need to be prepared and smart and how to gain that knowledge so that our faith will be strong and unshakable.
I was also thinking about, we have long waited by the signs announcing Jesus Christ. And this is the first time for them. So imagine the scale, why it is called the marvelous work and the wonder, I think also because this is the building up of the harvest. And that the opposition will go stronger and we will have to, people are taught at school and not to believe, which we read earlier in the schools of wisdom, to nullify the gifts of the spirit and our faith, because we expect physical things to happen. It's not a vague story, it's really happening. And this is what will get much more in the face for us. And that's why we need the faith of all the scriptures to.
Because this is our sword to our fellow brethren, you know. I also experienced this morning, you know, he comes with Amos 3:7. Well, we know it.
We know.
With more information from Russell now, and I think we really need to dig into the scriptures this is our, because I sometimes think there is more going to be more opposition from within the LDS church or other branches than outside, because people are so, they want to stay the same, you know, and I know the feeling. I had that too. I didn't want to change. I didn't want another baptism. I didn't want another church, you know. I'm here now. I chose this church and this is where I want to stay. I recognize those feelings, but yeah.
And we have to be tried. We have to be tried. That's what I really feel here also. We have to be tried, because how can we serve our Lord who we do not know? So if you, the first thing is a child doesn't want to, but if you can get people interested, this is interesting. Like with the two spies who are enthusiastic of the new land, then you will go. So this is the biggest thing. Satan wants us to be scared and not to try things. So this is also interesting in the taste of the fruit of the tree of the dream of Lehi. It doesn't say he read it, he tasted it, because if you read it's not enough, you have to do. But he also says he taught the people his words as well as he told us to do. So if we do it, we will be familiar with the spirit, and we have to learn that we are what is a geslacht?
Gender?
The times of the Gentiles that we are influenced too, in the way of the precepts of man. And this is also
generation.
This generation, which we will have to learn to live by the Spirit, mm-hmm. and not look at. These things we are taught at school to nullify our faith.
Our idols.
Yeah, our idols.
Brother Bento is talking about the idols in the LDS church being, you know, the prophet. Elder Holland is also, you know, very popular.
Right.
And
very much the precepts of men.
Yeah. Yes.
Traditional thinking. I also, thank you, Harm. I also was drawn to that phase he told us to do. We seem to be moving from the listening and learning and stage into the now we have to be doing something stage.
Yeah.
I kind of think all of us are feeling that. And what are we doing? And when you were saying the school of wisdom, I thought back to where after Cain and Abel, and Cain kind of, I think I have the right Cain, went and started his own area of expertise. He left the teaching basically and went and started all those schools and teaching, and the purpose was to take away the idea that God was present and nullify all of that teaching that Noah had given to his children. When, am I in the right spot, guys? Okay. And so what was the answer to that? How did the Lord fix that for the believers? Do you remember?
Yes.
The pure
teaching of the gospel.
Yeah, he took them away from the area where it was so strong, where the children were being taught wrong and going against the father's teachings, and separated them. And that's what came to mind, Harm, when you were talking about that. Wanted to share that.
I wanted to comment a little more. I was thinking about the difference, the angel asked Adam, why did you sacrifice? I don't know, he says. So, but the Lord told me to do so. So we first have to do, and then we get the confirmation. So this is the same thing. This is different what the world teaches us. The world teaches us you have to get the highest degrees and the most successful job and make the fastest way your money, instead of the balance between your a neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Is it really the guy next door? Or is it somebody you know from work? Or some family member you never talked to at the party. I lost my father recently, and I heard now that he always was asking the father of my daughter-in-law, nay, how you say, but that you have interest, you know, interest, and this is what Jesus teaches us with the scriptures. If how can you love these people if you don't know them? Here's the Book of Mormon. Read about a whole new people. And this is the same thing we experience now. But it's not about how much we know. This is the way of the schools of wisdom. They know a lot. We can beat them with our knowledge. But we have the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Which testifies of truth and the Lord and Jesus Christ. And I think this is really changing now. I feel it. People puff up with their knowledge. It's not only it's a weak spot for me too with my knowledge, you know. So I think this is important. We realize that this is also the school of wisdom. The amount of knowledge doesn't matter if it's the right knowledge and we use it rightly. That's what we need to learn, I think.
Thank you, Harm. How many of us have been in a position where we're trying to talk to somebody and it's about religion and it ends up being a debate and you get nowhere? It's not your knowledge against their knowledge. It's how the Holy Spirit is working with you. And if they are that strong in their belief against you, then that's what the Lord is saying. Don't share the pearls with the swine. They're not listening. Move on to someone who is. All right. Everybody's shifted. So now it is Balkia's turn to read verse 7.
Yes, thank you. In later years, many of our brothers lost hope and got out of the way. But the promises were real and the prophecies about Christ were fulfilled, one by one, before our eyes, until our brethren could clearly discern the time when Jesus would come among us, making us a stronger people in the faith. For the purpose of waiting for the next event until our eyes saw the coming of Jesus Christ, when all could see him come down from the sky in a beam of light. What does that mean? For the purpose of waiting for the next event, what is the purpose?
The stronger, to grow in faith.
To become stronger, okay, in faith. That was the purpose of waiting, okay.
I like that. Everything that the book teaches us that we read has so, it's like every word is giving us a meaning. It said many brothers lost hope and gave up, but the promises were real and fulfilled. And then one by one, the events happened. I think that's what's going on right now. Things are just happening one by one across the world until our brethren could clearly discern the time. It's like we're being showed one by one these little things happening until people's eyes are going to wake up. And that's important, that we may meet people that are not awake and totally oblivious, and we may be people that are halfway there or all the way there. For the purpose of waiting for the next event, it is a faith building. It's faith building for us. We can help. We can use that when we're talking with other people.
I had an experience sharing information about the sealed book coming forward, and these things were to be accomplished in the own due time of the Lord and according to his will. And the person was skeptical about a book coming forth. And I said, well, does the Book of Mormon testify that the sealed records would come forth? Yes. When will they come forth? Well, then what I said to that person was, there will be signs. This is the Lord's work. And it's not all going to be upon our shoulders. His hand is moving powerfully in this work. And he has the three Nephites, Moroni, and others who are going to bring to events. And I said to that person, be patient, watch, and see. And things will begin to happen in your life that will cause you to question. And it was shortly after that that this whole pandemic thing came up. This person is a nurse. And so had some severe questions that caused a lot of consternation about things that were happening. And I said to her, this is the beginning. There are signs that are going to happen that will cause the righteous to be awakened to the conditions of the times. And they will be searching. They will begin searching for the things that are found here in this record. And we're so fortunate that we have a leg up as far as getting started on this, and that we can begin to build our communities of love and support so we can receive these people, and also the opportunity to begin to exercise and strengthen our gain knowledge, and we're able to put that knowledge to use.
Thank you. Good comments.
Yeah, just a question. I know in the Book of Mormon, it's also brothers are being addressed, but also here, you know, brothers and brethren. And then I always wonder about the sisters. Did they left that out because it was too much to write down? Or, you know, is it really only about the brothers?
Well, sisters. John said some interesting things about that in about the Book of Jasher, huh?
Oh.
All the dates of the women and the birth dates, it's all there. I think it comes in phases. I think maybe the time wasn't already there, that everybody had maybe schooling possibilities and, mm-hmm. you know, somebody has a talent to listen, some other body to notice with their eyes. I love that it's two times our eyes, you know, because it says, blessed are they who will not see, but will believe. And so this is building up, you know, and we're blessed that we did hear his voice. But if you don't listen now, you will see later. But better listen. Because like what the prophet Jeremiah says, I translate in my own words, you shall not point yourself with the eye, you know, that you... Also, your whole body, to see something, you have to really move your body around. And the word is all around us. And it also takes more capacity of the brain to understand stuff from language than the light, even if it's a smaller frequency and higher to process. And we get all our energy from there. Still, to really understand the word, we need the context. And this is what he's trying to teach us, I think, that the Lord is able to do his own work mm-hmm. and let it all work together. So I love that, but the eyes, because it's the last thing he can do, you know? Okay, then we will believe if we will see. What did John say? Thank you, don't touch my mountain, thank you. The big things with the miracles. And for us is really to listen to the sword of truth through the Holy Spirit, I think. And this is too late if you have to use the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, we've talked about the superior power of women. Perhaps that our brethren lost our way because the women didn't.
Yeah. It could be, yeah. Thank you.
They
got away in time.
They didn't. Also, hey, I wanted to point out to our group here, in the sealed book, we're talking about gaining knowledge, and with knowledge, like the brother of Jared, he had knowledge of things, and he tested that knowledge. In the sealed book, it talks about that there will be seven events which will henceforth unfold with the children of men, all foretold in these records. And I think part of our work is to really understand what those events are, and so that we can be prepared for them and also share those. So here's another example of where we have advanced information which will help our faith.
Yes, good thoughts. One little item about the word brethren. If we take the word you, I sometimes can use it like I'm talking to you, or one person, or I'm talking to you, which is everybody. The South kind of runs it together and says, you all. Brethren doesn't have to mean just the men. It can mean everybody who is out there. So I don't always accept brethren as being just the men that they're talking to. Our brethren, if I was to say our brethren, I would mean everybody in our group, like a flock, and it's not separated out that it's brethren and sisters. I think of it as all together as a flock.
Jeannie, I agree with that. That's all. I've had to, there's been some of my professional work is involved with legal matters. And so in legal documents that refer to he, but it references all gender types. And so this is a common type of communication mechanism to address all groups using one gender.
Okay. Any other comments on this verse? Let's go on to verse 9. And Brother Bill, would you read 9?
Are we doing, did we do any?
Oh, eight. I'm sorry, eight. Can't count, sorry.
That's okay. Okay. Let us no longer quarrel and controversy among us, but let us take upon ourselves the commandments of Christ and stand up in such order to be united in all things, that together we may overcome any obstacle which Satan may place in our way. Yes.
How powerful.
Our little team is, I think, starting on this process.
I agree. I have to share something with you. John and I had done the pamphlet, and I had started it. I didn't have all the knowledge to put it together correctly, and John worked hard on it. And then he sent it to me and saying, well, what do you think about it? And I'm there like, oh, you didn't put in what I wrote. This isn't done. I want this. And he's always telling you how we came together to fix that and get it printed, get it put out. And I really do believe that it is put together the way it is supposed to be. But I had to sit there, and I didn't tell John this. I had to sit there and question myself and say, what is the point? What are you trying to do? And why are you trying to hold on to this word? Is it because you wrote it and you thought it was really cool, or because it's what Christ wants to have happened? And in that, I had to come to a conclusion. Let us no longer quarrel and controversy among us. The goal is what God wants. It is not what we want. And when I sat down with that in my mind and read it through, then sure, there were things that I would have liked to have had in there. But I think that they were said clearer with John's words than with my little flowery words. And I told him, yes, go ahead with it. But that was something that I had to struggle with in myself. And quarreling doesn't ever get you anywhere. We could have quarreled over that for weeks. And maybe even said, oh, well, the heck with it. The point was, we felt we needed to have that pamphlet out there for everybody to be able to use and make reprints of, and however they needed it. And I think that's kind of what this is saying, that that the quarreling isn't going to get us anywhere. We have to come together. And if we don't use the commandments of Christ, what is there left? We need those things. And united, this is the whole point of the United Order. We're all trying to figure out, how do we give the money? How do we do this? And those are important things. And we've learned a lot. And we've learned about how Christ doesn't want our money. He wants the desires of our heart, because many of us are not in a position to give a lot. And I'm down here on this barely 10%. So now, yes, it says that we may overcome any obstacle. Satan can't win. There's no way Satan can win. He just does not have the power over Christ.
Together.
Pardon me?
Together we may overcome.
That's it. Together. And that's what the United Order means.
Only then. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, together. And I think that's what we're starting to feel. Together. Satan is going to be, the battle against Satan will be fought.
Maybe one more thing, gather together. So you have the dispersion of Israel and the gathering. And so we have to, he first calls one prophet, then a family, then it becomes a state, then everybody gets spread over the whole world, and then he gathers them in again, and then he spreads through the Book of Mormon over all the world, and now he wants us to be one first at ourselves, and then together, because we may overcome any obstacle together. That's that what he wants us to feel.
Good point. Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that word being separated out like that, and it's wonderful. We're kind of at the beginning. And interestingly enough, as we start chapter 6, we're going to start getting into exactly what we do with building the United Order. And that point that Harm just made about starting with the family is where the three witnesses says to start. So any other comment on 8? Verse 8. Satan's not going to quit trying to work against us. He may lessen. He may go to the others that are easier to get to. He doesn't say he's going to quit. It just says that we will be able to overcome him. Okay, so go ahead.
I was wondering about... and stand up in such order. The order, does it mean like this one first and then the next and then the other one? Or the order being the united order? What do you think?
Stand up in such order. United, and also stand up in such a to be united in all things.
And stand up in such order to be united in all things. But
so many,
but God is calling us also in a specific order, you know?
His timing, you mean?
Yeah.
Could be.
His timing.
His timing. It could be putting the church back into order with the presidency and everything.
But that we are being called in such an order so that we have time to be united.
Well, that's true. We're small, but we are the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Just good wondering. Thanks.
All right, Lisa, can you do verse 9? Let me see. Yeah, let's do 9 and then we'll do 10 and 11 together.
Yes. Therefore, I want to remind you of these things that were required of us by Jesus Christ to make us pure in heart, seeking with fidelity to promote good among brothers, without detracting from the words left to us by the prophets of the past, in order that we might obtain the word of God revealed among us, that we may be one, just as he remains united with us through his gospel. So I had to look up the word fidelity because I've heard of that, you know, like fidelity in marriage and things like that. And I said, what does that mean? And it means faithfulness, loyalty, and support. So, you know, we need to be faithful to each other. We need to be loyal to each other. We need to support each other. That was one thing.
Thank you. That was great. I had not really understood that word before either. Well, and it says to make us pure in heart. That's interesting. Make us. If you follow the commandments, you do become pure in heart. I think anyway.
Jesus didn't ask us to make a long discussions. So if you love me, you follow my commandments. So this will purify us to have the confidence of Heavenly Spirit with us, which will always testify what we should do in each situation. So then we can remain one with him. And we will not have to detract. That's distort, something like that, detract his words.
Right.
Yeah. So then we won't fear. I think that's also probably one of the main feelings we have to fight around us, that we have no fear. Fear, that we can be fearless in our, but that's the faith of Jared we strive for, of course.
Right.
And it's a purifying thing. To become one and the living stone. So, this is what I was thinking.
Oh, I was just wondering about, therefore, I want to remind you of these things. And I'm like, oh, okay, what are the things again? And I think they're being said in verse 8, no longer quarreling, taking upon us the commandment of Christ, and stand up to be united in all things.
Right.
And these things are required of us by Jesus Christ. And they will make us pure in heart. And all the rest of the verse 9. So these three things, I think.
It's an interesting list.
Or did I miss one?
No quarrel, then commandments, and then be united.
Yeah.
It's an interesting list.
And by doing that, we become pure in heart. That's,
I think,
that's good. Yeah. I like the word seeking. That's an action word. Going into doing, we're promoting. And promoting this love. So this is the communication between ourselves and God. So that at the end it says we may be one, just as He remains united with us. If it's like Harm has said and Bill has said, we need to be all of us. Lisa said it. All of us have said it, Valkia, that we go forward, He will be with us. And that it's His gospel teachings that unite that togetherness. My daughter today, when she called me and said all of this was happening, which we've kind of foreseen it coming, she's trying to make decisions. And she told me, she said, Mom, people are so hateful. People are out for themselves. It's like more and more they don't care. They want to take care of themselves. They want their own little security, and they have to come first before anybody else. And so people are out there. My daughter is not an active member of the LDS Church and hasn't accepted this one. But she is seeing what is going on in the world. She's in her 30s and has her one boy that lives with her and another one that lives in Texas. And she's able to step back and see this, that people are not united anymore. People don't care anymore. This is what the Lord said was going to happen in these days. And that it would make it harder for us to be together and strong. But in some ways, I think it makes it easier because we know who to turn to and where to go and what to do. Keep the commandments, show the love, try and help others, and be united. And that's what Mauricio's asking us to do with the United Order. So any other comments on this verse?
Maybe there's more comment. For those who might view this and are investigating the truthfulness of the sealed book, it's interesting that it points out here, without detracting from the words left to us by the prophets of the past. And everything that we study here and learn about should ring true to any honest truth seeker. And not only that, we know from our own experience that we can go to the Lord and be powerfully influenced by the confirmation of the Holy Ghost, and that we are learning this is a primary tool that we should be using in all of our decision making. And that's being reactivated in our lives, the confirmation of the Holy Ghost, which we learned about from Moroni in the Book of Mormon. If these things are true, God will manifest it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. And this very week, did not John go before the prophet of the Lord with a question, and we got an answer.
Right.
Holy cow.
Right.
We are in a very privileged situation. Challenging. Very difficult, but very privileged.
I felt that too. Yeah, very much. People have to want, the people who are reading the book, if they just pick it up and read it and not want to know what's in it, they won't see it. And that's a true declaration of the Lord separating us and getting us ready and pulling us together for being united. The scriptures of old have taught us so much in this book about the unity and the greatness of God's plan and how it all comes together that you just can't miss that, and there's no way you could ever take away what the prophets of old have taught us. Okay. Harm, I don't think you've read. Can you do 10 and 11?
Yes, thank you. These, therefore, are the teachings which Christ left for us, which exist since the beginning, but which were taken from among the people because they could not endure it, except in the days of Enoch. May we be willing to do the same thing that the Enochians did before the flood, now in our present time, and let God evaluate our hearts in all things.
Yes.
Yeah, these are the teachings that Christ left for us. And it seems so obvious, but we had to come here and get this book to really, yeah.
Shake us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that they said in the beginning they tried to make it much plainer for us than in the scriptures that we've read before, because I've always had a hard time understanding the scriptures.
That's interesting. That was my first scripture, but you say, my soul comforted in plainness. I read a study about Nephi. He uses the word plainness in the Book of Mormon, that you can... Through the studies of the word use, you can see that it's different people writing the books in the Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. So he really comforted in plainness. And we need plainness to be able to warn people. Because when you warn people, you don't have time. So you need to go to the strong stuff. And it's not so much. It's not so much what we have now. It's not a real big book.
Right. Right.
So people say, I don't understand the Bible. It's too much. I don't know where to start. Well, read the sealed book first. I talked about it.
So many things come there together, you know, with the not LDS members of the Christian people. They would like it because Moses is in there, you know. Oh, that's a familiar figure. And then for the LDS people there, the three Nephites, you know, there's something for everybody.
And the feelings and the planets. So the small and the big, it's all there.
Yeah.
Enoch, yeah, what a hero.
Yeah,
the people during that time, they couldn't get it. They couldn't, the word endure, that's an amazing word. It was like because they couldn't endure it. You know, if you're given something and you're taught something, and you know it's true, but you don't want to accept it, it's hard to endure that knowledge.
And interesting, the last thing, evaluate let God evaluate our hearts and all things. I was thinking the other day with all the cameras now in the city here, they're getting more cameras and cameras everywhere. Everything is being filmed, watched. And but it's also the eye in the on the dollar bill that you get used to the idea of God always evaluating our hearts and everything. We really believe that. We know that God knows us better than we know ourselves. Mm-hmm. If you believe, if you get to know him, if you want to follow him. But it to be in at peace, that Jesus gives us the tools to be at peace with the Father and in all things. And this is what we have to get used to, this idea through the sealed book, I think, the magnitude of it.
Well, it says that in the city of Enoch, in the days that was present, that is what they did. They were, God evaluated their hearts. That was how they operated. And now it says, now in our present time, we have to let God evaluate our hearts. How do we do that? And I think that if we're following the commandments and showing the love, then what God sees in our heart is not wrong. We're not like hiding our hearts. We're not doing something bad over here and trying to hide our hearts. We are open to God seeing our hearts because we are being righteous.
Yeah, and we can prepare ourselves for the evaluation.
Right.
What Brother Mauricio said about in his latest message, examine yourself. You know, we have the intelligence to think about our actions and really, you know, hold it to the light. Like what does still work and what does not work? It doesn't work if I'm always angry. You know, why am I always angry? You know, we really have to, right. Yeah, look at yourself.
It's an interesting album by Uriah Heep, by the way. Sorry.
And it also says in 10 that the teachings that Christ left us existed since the beginning. Again, that proves the plan of God is the same. It hasn't changed. We're in a different spot and a different requirement for living. But the commandments and the things that he asks us to do are the same. Also in 11, it says, may we be willing. We have to do that with a willing heart to bring the Lord into our heart. So the willingness of what we do in the next couple of years with the United Order is going to be something that the Lord is going to look at. And it's going to be hard to make this kind of change. It said in the beginning, you know, they didn't look or believe until in Noah, or maybe Suzanne said that, until it began to rain. But we can't wait. We can't wait for the horrible stuff to start happening. It'll be too late for us. We have to go and prepare. That's the feeling I'm getting.
Dean, the scriptures talk about the city of Enoch returning to the earth. And those people from that city uniting and rejoicing with those who are building the New Jerusalem. Now that uniting and rejoicing is because their hearts are also one and united. And we are beginning to see the pathway forward. And that is, we have to let go of the self-centered, selfish monetary system that we grew up with and have been taught from the very beginning, and begin to recognize that God's government is going to overthrow this wicked and evil system that exploits people and causes so much suffering and poverty, homelessness, disease, and illness, ravaging the earth. What a corrupt system we have learned to live with. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get the boot big time. And God's going to bring in his government, and there will be peace and harmony. But we have, and this is the pathway, being able to let go of this old concept about greed and power and building wealth and status and pride, all that has to go by the wayside as we move forward and live in harmony with God's ways.
Yes, very much so.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. The old is not going to work. The old mankind life is not going to work. And how do we, prepare ourselves to be able to move forward. And whatever that takes, we're going to have to be accepting of it, or we won't be able to stay united, and we won't be able to keep that love and desire in our hearts. We're going to have to make a choice. In other words,
that system is collapsing all around us.
Yes.
And maybe we don't recognize it, but it is collapsing of its own weight because of its inefficiencies, corruption, and deceitful design. And it is going to perish because it cannot sustain itself.
And that's why I was thinking of that, where it says that the next event says in verse 7, the prophecies about Christ were fulfilled one by one, to them about the coming of Christ at that time. But it's also being shown to us one by one. Well, we are a little out of time. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.